Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. For over half a century, this listener-supported ministry has been shining the light of God's Word into our world. We're convinced that the Bible is a love letter from our Creator, that every word is inspired by God and profitable for us. We invite you to invest half an hour to study the Scriptures with us. If you're driving or engaged in other tasks, you can just listen. But if you're able to open your Bible and follow along, we believe you'll get the most out of this teaching. Here's Pastor Jim to lead us in our ongoing study.
I hope you brought your Bibles with you. Open them, please, to the fifth chapter of the book of Romans. Bernie's going to join me in just a few moments, and we're going to talk back and forth and invite you to not only eavesdrop, but to be actively listening. Over the years of ministry here at Grace, one question keeps surfacing. One question keeps coming up. And that's the question that I want to address and answer. What does it mean? What does it mean that our children are born with what the Bible calls? Well, look at this passage, Romans chapter 5. And verse 12. Paul writes, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." The language of the passage is complex. If you feel a bit confused, welcome to the club. The argument is tightly arranged. But this passage tells us a great deal about children and about the desperate need each child has. Not a need that they create, not a need that they generate, but a need that comes with them from the moment they are conceived in the human womb. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, we learn that just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, Thus death spread to all men because all sinned. And verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. I'm going to talk this morning for a little bit about the basic nature of babies. We are delighted in our family to be welcoming two brand new grandchildren into our homes in just a couple of weeks. First of October, both of our daughters are going to present us with brand new grandchildren, and we are excited about that. But along with the excitement comes a concern. With the delight of having a child come into the world, the scripture also tells us that that child comes into the world with a desperate need. Many of us have been properly concerned about a disease that is racing around the world that has been called AIDS, AIDS. We are told it's a very complex condition, and it's a disease that mutates, that changes very, very rapidly. It is a sad thing. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about a far more universal problem and a condition for which there is hope. I've taken the four letters for AIDS and rearranged them, hoping it would fasten this thought in your mind. Instead of AIDS, I've taken A-D-I-S. A, Adam. D, defiance. I, instinct. S, solution. One more time. A, Adam. We're talking about this morning Adam's defiant D, instinct, and its solution. The Bible tells us that when God created Adam and from his side took a portion and created Eve, that the human race began. God gave very clear directions to that first couple, and they defied God's law. They acted irresponsibly. That rebellion, that instinct to rebel against order, authority, has been passed through all of Adam's race. So that children come into the world rebels. That's their basic instinct. Those of you who are parents, grandparents, and those of you who are good observers, note that you do not have to teach a young child to be rebellious, selfish, self-centered, and that the child will naturally demand its own preference, its own right, regardless of the rules of the home, regardless of the authority of the parents, regardless of the child's own safety. The child comes into the world with an instinct to rebel, to demand what they want now. The Bible tells us that that came from Adam. That your son, your daughter, did not themselves individually create that. That every child born in every race, in every nation, comes into the world with that basic instinct. It was not in Adam and Eve when God made them. It was something that was added. Something that happened to the human nature when Adam sinned. And the Bible tells us that Adam was the one who made the decision, and all human babies are affected. The logic behind that is that babies die. And death in Scripture is always the result of sin. The wages of sin is death. God said to Adam and Eve, in the day you eat, you're going to die. And babies die. They die because of Adam's transgression, and because in Adam's transgression, the baby was constituted a sinner. All humans are sinners. In the argument, Paul points out that there was a period of time from Adam until Moses where there was no law. No code, if you please. And during that period, people still died. As a matter of fact, all, with the exception of one, Enoch, died. And the death signals or demonstrates that each of those persons were affected by the disease of sin. And they had captured that sin or had been captured by that sin by Adam. And when the law came in, conduct was codified. And with the institution of the law, where God said, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. With the institution of that law, God went through an elaborate series of activities by which he intended to teach us, every human parent intended to teach that this child coming into the world comes into the world as a sinner. And unless something happens that changes that child's nature, that child is going to pursue selfishness, rebellion, and that's going to cause problems in the world. Bernie works with parents and with children. That's his calling, and he does it so well. I've asked him this morning to talk to us a bit about what the church and what he advises to parents and how parents can accept, adjust, and respond to this problem of Adam's defiant instinct in every child. Bernie, comments?
Blessings have two sides to them. That little cry that is the sign that every labor room waits for, or delivery room waits for, and then the cry comes and the joy comes. The baby's alive. That same cry takes on various versions. There are five or six different cries of children. Not every cry is a selfish, defiant, demanding cry. I believe that Jesus, when he was hungry, used the language that a baby, an infant, uses to say, Mother Mary, I'm ready to eat now. And it came out with wah, something like that, or in Hebrew, you know, wah woo, or something like that. And parents can distinguish the cry that says, I'm identifying a need. I'm letting you know. I'm just communicating with you. Parents can identify, I'm hurt. I'm hurting. Or I don't feel well. I'm sick. Or boy, am I tired. And then as this ADIS expands and becomes visible, comes out in the cry. It's not just, I don't feel well, now I'm gonna make you not feel well. And there's that demanding cry that comes out. So even in those infant days, the child starts communicating. The child has a little world at that stage. And the little world is all that he or she can see. His eyes, parents look in the eyes and turn the face, you know, to face them. And and try to get those eyes to focus that are wandering all over the room. And finally, after a period of time, the eyes focus and the child recognizes an object beyond themselves. And then they identify that that object is a person. And then the thrill is when they identify that the object is a parent. And the parents are thrilled that the child's world has gone beyond just them surviving and taking care of their own needs to seeing other people. And all the way through the child's life, the parents are introducing them to an ever-expanding world. Even Jesus, even baby Jesus, was parented to keep expanding all that he was focusing on and keep expanding to see the world around. And if we did not have the ADIS, there would be this natural need for parenting. Parenting was still a responsibility, whether there had been any sin that had come into the world or not. Children need the attention and the care of parents. And we even get parented at my age. We still get parented. We still get help. We still get assistance. Someone helps us to see more in the world. But with the ADIS, the problem is complicated. And now, as the child expands to see the world around them, then they try to defy the world and impose on the world their wishes, their desires. Parents cannot stop just introducing our children to this world without God. God cannot be seen, but God is reality. And we as parents need to start with the child to see beyond just the visual and the feel and the touch to that area that God created within the child to see God himself. And the problem we find, and sometimes it's in the elementary years and sometimes it's in the teen years, the problem we find is that the defiance is not just at those who restrict me from getting what I want, but even against God who restricts me from getting what I want. So that's the display as it keeps coming out, happened all the way back in the days of Adam and Eve, and it continues to today.
And when the law came from Moses, or when God gave to the world through Moses the law to his people, he made an elaborate set of services, dedication services. When a baby was born, the baby, if he was male, needed to be circumcised. There was an offering. The woman who gave birth to the child was considered unclean. What does that mean? And how did she redeem herself from that?
Probably we see three or four of those in the story of Jesus when Jesus was first, when Jesus was born. Just 8 days after he was born, it tells us in Luke chapter 2 that that the parents went through the ceremony of circumcision. When he was 33 days old, then they had the ceremony for Mary of purification, and they fulfilled that. Joseph and Mary fulfilled that, and also the dedication of baby Jesus. Every parent, when they find out they're going to have a child, every parent gets serious about life. And I've seen some people that haven't had the foggiest idea or no expression of any responsibility to God until they realize they're going to have to take care of a child. They're going to have to be an example. And then they're going to have to introduce the child to this world, and they start to see the responsibilities of introducing the child to God as well, and then sense that need and that responsibility for that child. The dedication services were a way in the Old Testament for parents to express a commitment to setting that child aside to God. We have a dedication service. Most churches practice something along that line. When a child is just an infant, it's the time when parents express their commitment that they're going to raise this child for the glory of God. And they dedicate themselves as well as dedicating that child. And it's an important point. It's a decision time. Not every decision is made in the church. Many decisions are made in the hospital as they look into that eyes of the child. I remember our decision of dedicating our first child was 3 days into her life when we found out that she might not make it. And we got in a little Volkswagen, had to drive her 45 miles away to another hospital that had enough equipment to take care of her. And before we pulled out of the first hospital's parking lot, we paused there and dedicated that child to the Lord. That dedication is a recognition of my responsibility and stepping up to the plate and saying, God, I'll raise this child for you.
But the dedication doesn't solve the AIDS problem. That's the dilemma. The child still has within him or herself this drivenness, this Adamic desire to defy, to rule, to be God, to be in control, and to shape the world to the child's own individual need. Now, God gave the law. There were rules.
Yes.
And God told the parents in that economy that they were to apply those rules and teach them to the children. Talk for a bit about how the rules have to do with outward behavior and why that's important, and how that really doesn't solve the problem, though. The problem is deeper than that.
Well, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he took about 6 or 7 points in the Sermon on the Mount and said, now you've heard that it has been said in your law that talks about behavior such and such, but I say, and then he would point out something inner that still wasn't met by just that behavior.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We hope this brief look into the scriptures with Pastor Jim has given you some things to think about, some things to pray about, maybe even some things to do. God's words will change us if we allow them to. If you'd like to have the entire sermon on CD, we'll send it to you for a gift of $7 or more. The teaching series is available as a CD album. Please see the rightstartradio.org website for information on that. Right Start is a labor of love for those who volunteer to help, with their prayers and finances. There is no grant or subsidy or endowment underneath us. It's just us folks as we're led of God to help. For those who are part of the family, thank you. You're a blessing to many people. To contact us, reach us by mail at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. We promise not to send you any junk mail or spam. We're not building a database, we're building the kingdom. Or call us during business hours in the Eastern U.S. time zone, 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And the website is rightstartradio.org. We've tried to fill the site with material that will help us all grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can hear today's program and many others. You can play or download Pastor Jim's complete sermons. The Daily Podcast is the show on the go. We'll link you to that in iTunes. You can send us an email very easily, and you can click to donate at rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Please join us when we get together next time for a new edition of Right Start.